Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Mason Wazwaz.
Last week, listeners were wondering what the hell we were talking about because we spent like the whole first 15 minutes of the show talking about a hypothetical situation where you told me I was going to be horribly shocked, but you wouldn't tell me why. And now this week we know why. And it's because Courtney Fink is stepping down as the executive director of Southern Exposure, which many people would call the top dog of the San Francisco art nonprofits. I'm very upset about it. I'm upset. I'm alarmed. I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going through all the steps of the grieving process.
I think, you know, as someone who worked on the inside or worked at SOEX for a number of years, and I feel like I know Courtney well enough and know the board of SOEX well enough to know that they're probably in a really good position for this transition. So it doesn't necessarily worry. I don't feel necessarily worried about the future of Southern Exposure, but it is definitely still a shock that Courtney is leaving.
And it's definitely going to change.
It probably will change a little bit. I mean, there's a whole new staff, fairly new staff, with the exception of Valerie, who's been there for 4 years. And then a new, usually, you know,
Valerie
Imus, who is a fucking awesome, awesome person. But usually when a new director comes in, they usually have a vision. I don't think the vision's going to be that far from what it is now, obviously. But I mean, every new director wants to put their own footprint on something. That's the reality of it, you know?
Well, who's going to be the new Courtney?
I'm sure everyone who applies can't wait to be called that. The new Courtney. Oh my God.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of talented people in the Bay Area.
Okay, name them.
Who could apply. I have some names that I've been thinking about throwing out there. I'm not going to name them.
You're not going to name names?
I don't think so.
Just name some names.
No.
Damn you.
I think... Sorry, listeners. The big issue with this particular position is that it requires someone who can raise a shit ton of money. It's, you know, probably primarily a fundraising position. I mean, there will obviously be some creative aspects. In such a small organization, it would be impossible for there not to be. I don't know how they're restructuring the position. I really have no idea. I haven't seen like a job announcement for it yet. I'd be curious to see how they outline that position. I know that it's going to be a ton of fundraising, and so that takes a really special person like Courtney, someone who's very, very creative and experimental, but also really fucking good at raising money for an organization. You know, it's not everyone who can do that, who can do both, like who can sort of easily go back and forth
without selling the whole place to like Halliburton,
to Google or something.
Yeah. Listeners, if you're thinking about applying to be the executive director of SOEX, go ahead and send your applications to us before you send them in, and we'll help you with those.
We'll review them.
And we'll give you the Congratulations Pine Tree seal of approval along with a pre-formatted letter of recommendation.
A letter of acceptance.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Listener this week wanted to know our thoughts on job interviews.
Job interviews
or
other interviews?
Have you ever interviewed somebody for a position?
Yeah, I have.
What are the biggest mistakes?
Not answering a question.
Where you just kind of say something that has nothing to do with what was asked of you?
Yeah.
I'm sure
for me at least. I remember we interviewed. So at Southern Exposure, the way their interview process worked was the first round of interviews was with like a selection committee, which is board members and Courtney or the director. And then they'd narrow it down to a pool of like 3 or 6 people. And then those people would interview with the entire staff. But yeah, I remember interviewing people where they just, you'd ask a question, it's pretty straightforward.
Let's do it right now. What is a challenge you faced at a previous job and how did you overcome it?
Well, I was working in this arts organization named Bloody Blah, and I had to manage the interns, and it was such a great experience for me. I really enjoyed managing the interns. You know, they were so helpful. They would come and record, you know, they would document the events, and they were just really great.
Okay, that's not a challenge. Man, this is reminding me
of
it.
But no one will, people don't, well, I don't think
nobody
people,
will be like,
no one will say that's not a challenge. I'm glad you managed.
No one's going to help them out and bring them no. back to the question.
No.
That's well, funny.
I mean, sometimes people will, but.
That reminds me of an interview, not for a job, but for another thing where I definitely pulled that one, where I just kind of got lost on the trail to trying to start answering the question and just kind of started talking about like carpooling.
Yeah, I had this job where I carpooled to work every morning.
I had a phone interview when I applied to grad school. I had a phone interview with one of the schools I applied to. Did I ever tell you about this?
No.
And while I was on the phone with the interviewers, the Mormons came to my door. Two Mormon missionaries showed up at my house, which was so fucked up. I was living in Oregon at
the
time.
Did you answer the fucking door?
No, okay, but they good. Wouldn't leave. They like kept knocking and my dog was barking and like I was having a whole... And I can't remember if I told the people on the phone what was happening as it was happening, which was even more inappropriate. But I do remember that I just started going off on a tangent about raccoons.
And they accepted you?
I did get into that school.
That's amazing. But like, you know, make sure you remember what the job description said. Like reread that. Reread your fucking resume. Reread your cover letter. Know everything that you've said and everything that they're looking for.
Yep.
Make sure you have... I always say, you know... Do if you don't know the institution super well, do a ton of research about it. Come up with really smart questions about the institution at
and
large.
And that doesn't mean just reading their about page on no. their website.
Yeah. Try to do some more in-depth reading.
Whatever. They know me soon. I just want to hear all more horror stories. Have you ever had a really nightmarish job interview that you were interviewing for? I had one job yes. interview that lasted 2 hours back in Ohio. And it was all over the place. We did a full tour of all the facilities of the place. Jesus. I met like the entire staff, and that was before we even started the interview, you know, and the interview went on forever. And he ended up asking me like the weird, like if you could invite 3 people from any time in history to a dinner party, who
really?
Would you choose?
Oh, that's
yes.
so stupid.
It was really awkward.
What was the job?
It was like some art teaching job, like facilitating like some high school age kid art program, you know, and I did not get that job.
Surprise, surprise. Jeez, 2 hours.
Yeah, man. They should have paid me for that time.
I know, right? I feel like 1 hour max otherwise. Pay up. No,
right? Good Lord.
I did have one bad interview. Well, not to say that all my interviews have been good, but...
One where it
one
just went
notably,
off the charts.
Notably bad interview that I was just like supremely unprepared for.
And where'd your little mind take you?
I don't know. I think I had the like, oh, I don't know. I think I didn't even, ooh. I was very young. I mean, I didn't even have the like.
You didn't go on Raccoon World or?
I don't think I went on Raccoon World.
Do a 5-minute talk about Emily Dickinson.
It probably would have been better if I could have done that. I think I was like. So surprised that I was not ready, really, truly not ready, that I was just like, wow, I basically should just say, let's just end it here, you know?
I'm sorry. I don't think I'm a good fit for this position.
I don't think you should be considering me for this right now.
Interviews are weird, long story short. If you have any interesting interview experiences where you were the interviewer or the interviewee, go ahead and call in 419-351-6606. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can send us an email, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Did you know our website is congratulationspinetree.com?
Have you been practicing
that's
this?
That's all our information. It's easy because you just have certain things you know, and then you just say them. I'm here talking to Daisy Wong, preparator at so many places, it's almost innumerable. But just to name a few, Yerba Buena Center for the Arts, the Wattis,
Mills College Pro Arts, Oakland Museum,
Jenkins Johnson
Gallery,
San Francisco Museum of Modern Art.
Well, I got hired there, but I haven't started
And you never will, because you're moving.
Yep.
So Daisy's a preparator all over the Bay Area, and she's about to move to Boston, Massachusetts for love.
Yeah, I guess so.
So Daisy, I thought since this was our last shot to interview you, I'd go ahead and force you into it, which was very difficult.
It was, I was pretty resistant. Didn't really want to be interviewed.
But thank God I strong-armed you.
Yeah, you're very persuasive sometimes, especially with that stare.
Could you tell us, what are the, maybe the pros and cons of being a preparator? What are the brightest highlights and the darkest lowlights?
I guess some brightest highlights is that you get to touch the art, which is something you don't usually get to do. Some of the lowest ones are if you're an on-call preparator, you're on call and you have to make your own schedule, possibly juggling multiple places. So that's kind of, that can get kind of time consuming and annoying.
Being a preparator seems like a pretty male-dominated field.
Predominantly white male-dominated. Just like the art world. But, you know, in the Bay Area, there's a lot, there's a nicer mix of, like, women and also, like, queer people and people of color. So it's more mixed than other places. When I was working with Sarah Oppenheimer at the Mills Museum, she had mentioned that I was the first female, possibly queer female woman of color that she knew who was a preparator, which she was, like, really excited about because she's, like, a queer woman herself. And so that was, like, really interesting to hear from her because I feel like I've worked with a number of women in the Bay Area, but there it is still predominantly male, yes.
And she's from New York, right?
Correct.
Or lives there now.
Yeah, she's right now in New York. I think she used to be in the Bay Area.
How hard is it knowing that you're the best at what you do and yet sometimes having to battle for supremacy amongst your own coworkers?
Well, so I wouldn't say I'm the best. it's difficult. It's just like communicating with people on boundaries sometimes, or maybe just having to deal with it because you don't want to get into the whole like privilege thing. It's just like everyday life as a woman, person of color who is queer. And I feel like it's especially hard because I'm still somewhat young in the field, and I'm also fairly short. So I feel like people don't take me as seriously. I don't know if this is correct or not, or true, but it's hard for people to take short people seriously, I feel. Especially if they look young.
Do you want to say anything to listeners that might be in Boston?
Hey, everyone in Boston. I'd just like to say that I'm coming your way. And let me know if you want to hire me.
Couldn't recommend Daisy more. I actually worked with Daisy at the Mills Museum in digitizing and as kind of a preparator. And I have to say, some of the best work I've ever seen. Here's a comment that you could comment on after I make the comment.
Great.
We'll comment at each other. Great. I went to the Whitney Museum, mm-hmm. and their labels, their wall labels for the work, was cut really haphazardly. And I thought of you and how you're a machine at cutting perfect labels.
Thank you.
And I wonder if you ever notice things like that and how it makes you feel.
Well, I kind of have an eye of whether something is fairly level or not, so I definitely do notice things. But I keep them to myself.
It doesn't bug you when you go to, like, some, you know, top-of-the-line kind of place and everything's not, like, you know, gone over with a fine-tooth comb?
Well, I'm usually, you know, I usually see things that I like, oh, this is fairly nice. Or sometimes I wonder how something's hung and I just, like, look behind it. And uh-huh. I'm more interested in that kind of stuff than, like, nitpicking about what they could have done better.
Right on. One last thing for you.
Okay.
You went to Punahou High School in Hawaii.
Yes.
And also, the husband of Sigourney Weaver went there.
Correct.
And I heard from you that Sigourney Weaver's been known to go to some of the reunions there. How are you going to meet Sigourney Weaver? And how am I going to live that experience vicariously through you?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I almost went to that reunion, but then I stupidly decided not to, and then I was extremely upset about it because I totally missed it. I'm a huge fan of her. I have all of her Aliens DVDs. But, you know, I guess I'll just have to wait another, like, 4 years for the next big reunion that her husband might go to and maybe she'll show up to. And then we can live through it together.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Daisy, I think I speak on behalf of everyone at Congratulations Pine Tree, our whole team of 300 people, and all our listeners when we say to you, good luck, and of course, congratulations.
Thank you, Kate.
This public service announcement is brought to you by Congratulations Pine Tree. Saving your ass. That's our slogan for okay, our good. PSAs. Okay, go ahead.
Last night, there was an earthquake just out of Fremont. It was a 4.0 in magnitude.
4.0. The magnitude of an earthquake, you can tell the magnitude of an earthquake by how long the shaking lasts, even if you're really far away. I learned that from that New Yorker article.
Oh. I didn't realize that because I felt like they, well, okay.
Yeah.
I don't have that much to base it off, I guess. It felt like a long time. It felt kind of like 10 seconds to me. Because I kind of woke up.
Right.
I woke up and I was like, get up. There's an earthquake. We might have to run.
Where'd you go? Where would you go?
We just stayed in bed. There's earthquakes here in California. If you don't know what to do during an earthquake, I would recommend checking out the Red Cross website, actually. They okay. also have earthquake preparedness kits for you yourself, or maybe you and your family, maybe you and your dog. You can get some things going.
Maybe you especially want some water. What about the
tsunami? I don't think a tsunami is going to make it over Twin Peaks for me.
So you're good?
I'm good, although I might wrap around through the bay.
Although you know, Oakland has a pretty low sea level. So does the Mission.
The Mission is pretty low. But yep. but there's a lot of hills. Like, I'd have to get up and over Potrero Hill. Like, that's...
Could.
That's a pretty big wave.
Yep.
Then we're all fucking screwed, so whatever.
Run for the hills. I learned from this New Yorker article, Maysoon. We'll have a link to it in the underworld. I'll also put a link to one of the articles criticizing this article. But there'll be a time gap. Look, point is, in the Pacific Northwest, apparently you're due for the mother of all earthquakes and you're all fucked. So listen up. When the earthquake strikes, you'll know because there'll be an earthquake. And after that, once you're in a safe kind of situation to be able to run, you got to run uphill. You won't have much time before the tsunami, but go uphill. Get up. Go to higher land.
Do tsunamis always happen, though?
No, but this one apparently could have a big one. Yes.
Listeners, take note.
Oh, I forgot to tell you about this, listeners. Did you know that there's a thing sometimes that'll come up on like Facebook or any website where they're like, there's a new law that they're going to forgive every student loan ever.
And, is that fake?
And then you click it and you give them all your personal information.
God.
Uh-huh. And then every single state in America is going to call you for the next rest of your life to try to con you into some debt consolidation program. And this public service announcement has been brought to you by Congratulations Pine Tree. We always have your best interest in mind.
Give us your money.
We could have gotten you some like Dayquil with our money. Got you some lozenges, some Robitussin, some Coricid and cough and cold. I learned a new thing.
Cool.
From the other teacher that I'm doing teaching the class with at SOEX, my friend C.A. Greenlee, about growth mindset and fixed mindset.
Great, let's discuss.
Growth mindset is where, like, fixed mindset is like when somebody's like, oh, I'm just bad at drawing, or like, I can't draw, or like, oh, I can't do math, or whatever, where you're just like, you have a fixed position that you can't get out of. That it's a lot like, of people have that.
Yeah.
And a growth mindset is like, well, I can at least get better. Like, maybe you don't have to necessarily think like, oh, I'm gonna be the greatest, I'm gonna be fucking Leonardo da Vinci in 10 minutes, but you can be like, you know, I can't, if I put some time in, I can get better.
I think it becomes a sort of a crutch or an excuse for people, the
where
fixed
they're just
mindset.
Like, this is who I am. Yeah, it's kind of existentialist, where like, there is no human nature, you make your nature.
Yeah. It's funny because I was thinking that the other, maybe not the other day, but maybe the other week or two, about my terrible memory. And how it's always just been like, I just have a bad memory. Deal with it. And I'm like, you know what? Get over it. You can make that change. I was having a fixed and growth mindset experience together with myself. Yeah, you shifted
to the growth mindset. That's great, Mason.
In fact, this morning I had some ginkgo IQ tea.
That's great. Vitamin E is supposed to be good for memory,
too. I need to get back on the vitamin E.
Where does that come from?
What, vitamin E or growth and fixed mindsets?
Is it in a fish?
It can be.
Yeah, that's supposed to be good for your brain.
The omega-3s.
My dad takes vitamin E, and he doesn't believe in vitamins.
Well, he does. He actually does, is a thing.
Yeah.
He just doesn't maybe realize it.
But he would never say it.
Does he have a fixed
mindset? He has a very fixed,
mindset on that?
Very fixed
mindset. I don't believe in vitamins. So were you guys talking about that in relation to the classroom?
Teaching. Yeah.
And how just how you work with students who maybe have fixed mindsets around things?
Trying to foster a growth mindset. It's pretty awesome. I'm trying to think of a thing where I think
Do you have a fixed mindset? Can you think? Like, I've just given an example of one.
Well, I don't think I'd ever want to be a glass blower.
But saying I don't think I ever want to be one isn't saying I can't be one. I don't.
Yeah,
I can't
don't
do
wish
that.
To. Well, okay.
But if you were presented with the opportunity to blow some glass, you'd probably do it.
I think I'd be like, no, cool. I wouldn't. I don't want to be Chihuly and lose my eye.
What if it were a very safe situation?
It's never going to be safe when there's molten glass involved. Have you ever blown glass?
That seems really cool, though.
And you
have lots
heavy,
of video.
The heavy rods and the hot, hot fire.
I'm sure they have like a kiddie set.
You have to. There's no kiddie glass blowing set. I've done glass kiln casting.
Cool.
That was fine. I would have loved it if the teacher wasn't a complete asshole. God rest him.
Clearly it wasn't.
He's
Michael Swain.
He's dead.
That's okay. He could still
God
be.
Rest him.
I don't. Do you have to be sorry? Do you have to get on that?
I'm not
tip?
Really on that, but it's just like I want to save face.
It's weird to talk about dead people.
Right.
I agree. It's weird, but at the same time,
go on.
Well, dead people that you knew, because it's one thing to talk about like some dead, amazing, famous writer or whatever.
Right.
And, you know.
It's much more abstract.
Right. But to talk about someone who you knew and who you didn't really like, and then to sort of acknowledge it out loud, you kind of feel like you're desecrating them.
R.I.P. Anyhow. But that's good. Have a growth mindset. My studio shares a weird door with another office in my building that my studio is in, and neither of us can open the door, but we can hear each other like crystal clear, like we're just talking to each other. And the other person works for a law firm, and apparently the law firm is fucking shit up a lot because she has to scream at some guy named Paul all the time. Oh. And it's weird because the name of the law firm is like Paul Bleep Blop Law Firm.
So it's like Paul whatever. She's like yelling at the boss.
She's like screaming. She's like, you fucked this case up, Paul. You are fucking this up for me. Blah, blah, blah.
Maybe she's one of the other owners.
I don't know, but she's real ballsy telling Paul, whose damn name is on the door, that he's fucking everything up.
I love it. Paul. I want to hear that.
It's intense as hell. Don't and she slams the phone down, but the thing is the phone is set up so that when you put it back down on the hook, it just goes to speakerphone. So she like...
Oh, no! I love it. Oh, my God. I love it.
Yeah. So hopefully...
So it just goes into speakerphone and Paul's like, biddy, 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 I don't
then
know.
Then Paul's just still talking. But Paul knows he did wrong, so... But hopefully we can get an actor to
That's
recreate that
hysterical.
For us. So let us know who you're... inappropriately watching. Don't stalk anyone. That's a really horrible
offense. No, let's take that
just
out.
Just take a quick look, make some connections. Congratulations, you listened to another
episode of Congratulations Pine Tree.
Did
you love it?
I don't even know what this was. We're still getting back into the swing of things, and will be for the next 40 episodes.
For the next 40 years.
Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to call or write in and whatnot. And didn't we come up with a way to end the show? Happy hump day. No, that's not what
it was. I thought there was another word. That can be one too.
Thank you and happy hump day. Too loud. One more. Thank you and happy hump day. Too quiet. Thank you and happy hump day.